Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of Hear That Podcast, Growlin'. Paul Ener Jr. and Jay Morrison normally are with you, but it's just me today. It's just Paul. Jay is on his much-deserved vacation. No word on if he's spending it at Arby's headquarters getting ceremonial tours as one of their finest customers, but it's just me. It's just me, but it's been a busy day. So we've got a lot to get to. I can't just talk by myself for an hour. So I had to bring in a guest. So today I'm excited. My special guest is going to be an interview with Sam Hubbard. So I kind of wanted to try to catch up with somebody who was at the centerpiece of a lot of key things this offseason as the veterans returned on the beginning of OTAs on Tuesday. That included the decision to come back and actually be part of OTAs, which had 100% participation on Tuesday, which is a big deal. He was at the precinct for the precinct dinner. The great Riley Reiff, Joe Burrow, defensive free agents recruiting situation where everyone ate, drank, and was merry, and the future was plotted. Sam, he's part of the new core leadership of this team, and you know, he's a really interesting guy. I kept the Moeller High School stuff to a minimum. No need to talk about how strong his high school is. But excited to bring that interview to you. We'll have that coming here momentarily. First, I just want to run through a little bit of what happened on the first day of OTAs, a busy first day of OTAs, and bring you a few other people that we heard from today. Most notably, number nine showed. He showed in a big way, at least as far as much as you can on the first OTA practice with your knee in a knee brace. You know, there was kind of this thought of wondering, what is he going to do? You know, they have been in talks, everybody from PTs to the coaches up to the top front offices and surgeons and Joe and his camp, everybody in these, what can you do? What should we do? What can you safely do with Joe Burrow during this time? And they came to the terms of what we ended up seeing on Tuesday. But I think, you know, from my perspective, from a media perspective, we didn't know what that was going to look like. I think we all kind of showed up on Tuesday wondering, what exactly are we going to see? What will he do? Well, it looked really normal. But if it weren't for the knee brace and sitting out a few different types of drills, you would never have really even known, honestly. Burrow came walking up the hill, helmet in hand, jersey on, went to the exercise bike to get warmed up, took a few throws, individual drills. He's out there throwing to his receivers. And all of a sudden, they're out there and, you know, they're in a huddle and he's leading the huddle. Now, no defense, all on air. Everything very, very cautious. Nobody allowed within 10 feet. But it was very normal. He's getting his work in with his receivers. It was a big deal, you know, a big step. Now, Burrow said he's been doing this since April. So that's positive. So this was not necessarily anything new other than the people he's throwing to are not equipment managers. The people he's talking with are not staff. That's his teammates. That's the people he's trying to lead. That is the receivers he's trying to develop chemistry with. And so the expectation is that what happened Tuesday, all this that I just described, is what's going to happen over the course of the next, actually 10 sessions they're allowed to have, or that they kind of negotiated into, plus a couple mandatory minicamp days. to keep him involved, keep everybody involved. I want to bring in a couple of pieces here of this that we heard. So after the practice ended, I thought one really cool thing happened. Practice ends. Joe Burrow brings him up. He goes in the middle and breaks everybody down, like old times. And everybody goes to leave. Most people leave. No, he's still there. Well, I'm not leaving until I said to myself, I'm not leaving until Burrow leaves. I stay till nine leaves. All of a sudden, he comes back and looks like he's going to do some more work. I'm like, oh, how about that? I wonder what he's going to do. Here comes one with him, Ja'Marr Chase. Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase getting some extra throws in after practice. Burrow kind of talked about, yeah, we were a little rusty at first, a little overthrow, drop, whatever. Wanted to make sure we got it right. And all of a sudden, they were kind of back in step together. Nobody's saying that those like 5-10 throws are going to be the difference between this team winning and losing games, but that's a cool thing to see. That's what you want to see. That's what you hope you're going to see from your number 5 overall pick and last year's number 1 overall pick. So I want to talk about this. It was about I think today was about the importance of Joe Burrow being involved. So here's Joe Burrow kind of talking about that in 100% attendance. Again, I mean, there's a lot of teams out there that a lot of them issued statements earlier on. Coaches and leadership all around the league were having to negotiate. What can we do? How can we make this right? How can we get everybody in here? And the main thing was everybody realized, you know, and I heard this, whether it was people on Zooms or whether people just talking to me off the record, whatever. One theme came through. They all realized we have work to do. We need to put in the work. They don't have the luxury like other teams. They have to be focused and they have to put in the work. And so the expectation was everybody would show up today, and everybody did. Everybody did. 100%. There were three people working out on the side. DJ Reader, Ronnell Wren, and Trey Hopkins all kind of working their way back from injury. No reason to push them. Everybody else out there doing it, even Joe Burrow. And that means a lot. And everybody felt number 9's presence. Here's Joe Burrow on the importance of him being involved in OTAs.
Could you sense that your teammates were really excited that you were an active participant at the first OTA practice?
I didn't get any sense for it, but I sure hope they were. You know, I was excited to be an active participant myself and be around everybody, so I hope they were.
Joe, sorry if you got asked this a little earlier, but did you feel like it was important for you, kind of as you grow into being a leader, to be involved in this OTA in some capacity?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I didn't want to just not show up and do my own thing. I'm at the point where I can, even if I wasn't able to do everything, if my knee was less than what it is now, I would still want to be here and be around everybody and communicate and call plays in the huddle. Because we have a lot of new faces on this team that need to see me there and see me working. So it was really important for me to be here.
What was your reaction to the full house? What was your reaction to, I think, everybody being here?
As far as all the players?
Yeah. I mean, attendance. What was your reaction to the attendance?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we decided to do as a team. And I think that shows the rapport that everybody has with each other. We decided as a team that we were going to come and put the work in. And so everyone showed up. You know, that's great. I think that bodes well for the season.
I thought this was a big deal. You know, I really do. Man, you know me. I go Paul Downer Jr. hat in the offseason if I can, because I try not to go too much into the easy here. It's so easy to dive into the optimism this time of year, and you should. May is it's a time for optimism. You know, the flowers are blooming. The weather's getting better. We're thinking about our summer vacations. We're trying not to focus on cicadas, all that stuff. You know, and the football feels good. The team looks good, right? Everybody's excited. I try not to go into that too much because it's too easy to. Everybody can do it. But today was a good day for the Bengals. It really was. Today was a good day for the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, this team, having everybody on board, having Burrow there, the new leadership, all sort of apparent and felt. It did, you know, and Burrow kind of said, we have the right people in place. We just got to go get the wins. It felt like that. It finally felt like that new, fresh beginning, I think, that this team has been trying to implement since Zach Taylor got here. And the new that new group is there. You know, what it all means in the long run, I don't know. But the thing that they talked about so much, they want guys that work. They want guys that want to put in the work, guys that care about the work, about being there, about doing the right thing, about competition. That looks like today. I'm not saying other teams aren't doing that. I'm not saying that's even going to mean anything come camp. But that's what it looks like. 100% attendance, Joe Burrow out there caring, talking about how important it is that he's out there and hoping that people felt his presence, how much it matters. Extra work with Jamar Chase. Veterans talking about the import. It was too important for them to be there when it had been very easy. They'd have every reason in the world, and a lot of people around the league calling them up, telling them not to show up. Yeah, that's what it looks like when you have a team that loves to work. And the right people in place to lead that. That's a good day. Beyond just number 9. All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor. I know I can't stay away from number 9 for too long, so let's talk more about that. So next hurdle for him is going to be about off-platform, rolling out. There's none of that. I mean, this was snap, throw, things like that. No rollouts, you know, no scrambling, anything like that. It was all just snapping, throwing, getting in mostly short passes, which is what they were doing. I assume that they're not afraid to open it up a little bit more with him down the field. But, you know, it's all just the basic stuff, just getting timing down with receivers, people hearing his cadence, everybody getting comfortable with him and what they're doing and checks and all that stuff. Stuff that you could try to do on Zoom, but, man, this is just so much different. Building camaraderie, BSing on the side, you know, hanging in the locker room, going out to dinner here and there. Like Jesse Bates talked about going out to dinner with the DBs and how important that felt and just getting everybody to understand what they're building. It's kind of got made fun of a little bit. Zach Taylor said, oh, we're a team on a mission. Feels like a team on a mission. Yeah, I know. I get people are got a lot of jokes for that. They're out there to be had. But I think there was a feeling of purpose is what he's getting at. And I'll buy into that. There was a feeling of purpose out there. Next purpose for Joe Burrow, though, is what comes next. So here's Joe Burrow talking a little bit about what's next for him. And could that include the preseason?
Joe, I know you said at one point you didn't want to play or bother with the preseason. Has that changed as you felt better? Or is that still the way you feel that preseason isn't really something you have a whole lot of interest in?
I definitely wouldn't say I didn't want to. I definitely want to play. I just don't know if it's the best thing for my knee. Maybe hopefully I can get, you know, a couple series in there to shake the rust off before game one. We'll see, talk that over with the coaching staff and ownership and our physical therapist and our trainers. So that'll be a discussion at a later date.
I thought it was kind of funny, you know, the idea of, well, you know, I mean, I'm not against the preseason. Everybody knows. I mean, it's about the Vikings. It's about week one. And it's on track and all is looking good. He said his knee is 80 to 85% and everything certainly seems that way. Wants to be full go by training camp. I mean, these are all great signs. This has been an incredible recovery for him to be at this point. And you know, everybody's feeling great. Preseason is a long way down the road. They're just trying to just figure out, execute the plan right now. They'll worry about August later. And I don't think Zach asked about preseason later. Wasn't really quite on board. I think that's just decisions that are for way down the line. Really not necessary because it's all about caution right now. And I thought that was kind of the thing. And Burrow and Zach Taylor and everybody having these conversations about what this OTA should look like. You know, I was curious, like, what those conversations were like and what was important. And I thought Zach gave a really interesting answer when I asked him that. So here's Zach Taylor talking about, you know, caution and figuring out what this should look like as they try to ease Burrow back into this.
What was your discussions like with Joe about where to start with him in this, and from his perspective, what seemed to be most important to him and that you guys agreed on in that respect?
I'd say number one, we're not going to push the envelope here. You know, it's, these are things that he did today that he's been doing with Nick Cosgray, you know, the last weeks, months, whatever it's been. He's been throwing to you know, different trainers and things like that. And so all we were doing is putting him out there and doing the same things he's been doing just to our receivers. And as you saw, there was never no one even near him. We were going to be overly cautious. We're not, okay, he did that today. Let's push the envelope tomorrow and say, no, it's not that way at all. It's just involving him with the team, letting him get back out there, you know, be a part of a lot of the communication stuff. You know, even if he's in a huddle and breaking a huddle, just the communication of calling the play and looking guys in the eye. There are new guys up front and making protection calls and things like that, even if he's not actually taking a stat. That stuff is just as important as a lot of other things in this offseason. So those are the things that we wanted him to be a part of. And again, if he's already dropping back and throwing routes, we'll let him go out there and do that with our guys as well.
Right. So there's Zach Taylor talking about, you know, look, all caution. I mean, they were – even the running backs, if Joe Mixon was running a route, he was not doing it from the backfield. That needed to be motioned out wide because nobody is running anything near Joe Burrow and his legs. He sort of joked. Somebody said – somebody asked who's in charge of watching his feet. He said, me and Mike Brown. Because we are focused on nobody getting near that guy. Don't touch the merchandise, right? Old Jay Gruden. But yeah, I mean, it was, look, Burrow certainly looked good. And there's a lot of hope and optimism surrounding that. And saying all the right things, doing all the right things. And so a good day for the Cincinnati Bengals to kind of recap what's going to, so we will have next Tuesday as well, another OTA, then another OTA the Tuesday after that, and then a couple of days of mandatory mini camp the week after that for that's June 15th through the 17th. And then it's a full wrap until they come back July 27th, which the league announcing today, sending memos to clubs that they will be allowing full fans in attendance for camp. As we know, everyone's anticipating full 100% fans for the season. We're back, baby. We are back. It's so nice. So let's get to, I'm gonna end this here. We'll bring in the conversation with Sam Hubbard. Sam, really good on a wide range of topics, and I think some that are fun, some of that are lighter, and some that are really relevant to where this team is right now. So here is my conversation with Sam Hubbard.
All right, now the latest turn here on the podcast. Ground, we're going to welcome in the Bengals defensive end, pride of Cincinnati, strong, strong man of Moeller, where all the great minds come from, Sam Hubbard. Sam, what's up, man?
Not much. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. Thanks for joining us. I wanted to start here with you because you know you have your good friends Patrick Coyne, and I know you and Drew and Joe are over there at Black Sheep training over there. What is it like to watch a slow mo hype video of yourself working out?
That was Pat orchestrated that. It was kind of like our last day in there before OTAs, and actually the guy in there, his name's Ahmad, and he's really talented. And it's weird. It's not gonna lie, it's pretty cool, but I try not to do it too often, but work in silence and stuff like that. But video turned out pretty well.
What's the protocol on that with your buddies? Do you send it to them, or you just wait for them to send it to you and give you a hard time about it?
Yeah, no, Trey Henderson gave me a hard time about it today. I was like, I'm not organizing it. I just threw it up on my story.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm gonna have to mute you if I see it again. I'm like, I understand.
look when you work hard for it, there's nothing wrong with showing it off a little bit, you know, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. It's a little different than last year when you guys were hanging out in Drew's garage, like trying not to wake the kids. It's a nice new facility over there.
Yeah, we've come a long way from those times. That was tough, waking up Drew's baby at 7 a.m. dropping deadlifts on the garage floor. That was We did that for about 5 months, and I never want to do it again. I love Drew to death, but we almost killed each other, me, Pat, and Drew, being in a garage working out that long.
The big thought today, obviously, was, hey, everybody's back, but obviously Joe being out there. You've been with him working out side by side a lot. What has it been like for you watching him grind through this process and then to get his moment being out there, helmet, you know, jersey throwing, all that stuff today?
Yeah, I didn't even know he was going to be out there like that today, but, you know, what a terrible, painful injury that he's just – quietly grinded and every day shows up and just works his ass off, consistently, doesn't say anything, but you just see him in there every day. I mean, it's got to be pain. I've never had a knee injury or a devastating injury like that, but just the progress he's made, just squatting the bar and now throwing up a bunch of weight, it's been amazing, and having him out there today was just awesome.
It seemed like it was kind of what he talked about, was that he knew the importance of his presence out there. Did you feel like, you guys, even on the defensive side of the ball, all the way out there on the other field, like, could kind of feel that and what that kind of meant to everybody just to see him out there doing that?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's the unquestioned leader of our team, and when we're not with him, it's something's missing for sure. And the fact that he wanted to be out there with us, I mean, he broke down the huddle at the end of practice, and it's just gives everyone such a great feeling, confidence to have him, at the helm of our team, and it's awesome. I've known, he's been like this since college, and to have him in the leadership position that he's earned, I wouldn't want anyone else there.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you mentioned leadership. I wanted to ask you about this. It's kind of an interesting thing where anybody that's been in any job anywhere knows, like, you show up, you're new, you're trying to get your feel for it, and there's a lot of people that have been there longer than you that kind of are the ones that decide how things go. Well, now, like, that's you. There used to be a lot of guys that had been here longer than you in your room outside of, I guess, Josh Tupo, who didn't participate last year. You're the only one that's been there longer than a year. Does that feel different for you from a leadership perspective when you're out there now, you and even Joe?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that I talked about with Jesse Bates. It's our team, it's our time now, and we are, embracing it because, this is what we wanted. We wanted to, win games, do things the right way, and now there's no example to follow but ours because we are the old guys now. So it's on us to do everything right and get everyone else to do the things the way we want them to be done, the way we've been trying to get them done for years. So we're embracing it, and it's going really well so far because we got so many good dudes added on, young guys and new signings that are jumping on board quick.
Yeah, okay, for somebody who's been covering this team for over a decade, you and Jesse talking to you about yourself as the old guys is really making me feel pain in my own body.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. I'm still 25. I mean, usually veterans are – when I hear veteran, I think of, Michael Johnson, 30 years old, grown man, somebody that's been through it all and seen it all. This is my fourth year, but, I've been through a lot too, a lot of adversity, so is Jesse, and we got a lot that we can teach the young guys and guys coming in.
Yeah, I mean, what was kind of like those conversations like during, as you guys came to, I mean, everybody shows up today, which is awesome considering, what the state of the league was and questions about what that would look like. What you and Jesse, I know, were kind of amongst that leadership group in the middle. What were those conversations like when you had everybody on the Zoom of being like, hey, we got to do this, and coming to that resolution that you guys would all show up today? I mean, that had to have been really encouraging for somebody trying to set the standard to see all that unfold.
Yeah, it was a crazy process, especially in the beginning when all those teams were releasing statements. We didn't have any information. We kind of were just on FaceTime, on player-only Zooms, trying to navigate, trying to get people's perspectives. We didn't have any testing answers. We didn't have any vaccine answers. But we all came to the conclusion that we needed and wanted to get together at some point And I didn't even know. I wasn't even paying attention. I didn't know everyone reported, but that's what I was anticipating. I didn't expect anything else. There was nobody pushing back or saying they weren't doing it. Everyone was just on board and wanted to get in the building, meet each other, and get some chemistry going. So that's kind of just the decision the leadership of the team made, and everyone went with it. And that's a great start. You're right.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I wanted to ask you about that was one of my favorite things this offseason was the precinct dinner of everyone trying to sell Riley Reiff with the precinct in. You were there. You were a man in the room. First of all, what did you order, and what was it like to kind of be part of that? It's like an old school recruiting visit or something like that at Ruby's.
Yeah, no, it was really just they do the free agent dinners. We got a lot of new signings. Mike Hill and Trey were all in town. I don't even remember who hit me up, but I got invited to the dinner. I said, yeah, I wanted to go meet those guys, and I was over at Joe's house, and I guess Zach heard that and seated me at the table with Pollock and Joe and Callahan and Taylor, and we just had dinner, and it was a great conversation, great meal, and he was on board after that, so turned out pretty well. Riley's a great dude.
Not that you would ever turn down a precinct invite under almost any circumstances, but to get the invite to that one, that's got to feel like, man, all right, this is the place for me.
Yeah, no, it was definitely an honor, and I wanted to be honest and tell Riley what we're trying to do, what's gone on in the past, and he's immediately jumped on board and wanted to build something that saw him out there today. It was just great to have that veteran presence.
Are you a State Collinsworth guy? Is that, or do you?
No, I'm a AJ Green, just simple New York strip, medium rare. That's my go-to.
Oh, okay.
I probably eat Ruby's too often.
See, Sam, here's the thing. How hard do you want to start lobbying to get your own order named after you on there? That's like,
no, I was on the menu for the precinct. For I had a piece of Wagyu called the Hubbard, and I got taken off when COVID happened. I never got a clear reason. I think they took like the steak Eifert and me off at the same time and put the burr on, which I understand, so I'm not too upset about it.
Joe has replaced you on the precinct. This will not be tolerated. We need to get Ruby on the horn right now and get the Hubbard back up. I mean, you can't.
The precinct did give me a bunch of copies of the menu with me on it, so I got the souvenir. That's all I'm worried about. I'm good.
It's proof, but man, you got to be able to go. So when you take your buddies, I know what it's like to show up somewhere and something's named after you on a menu. We need to get you back on there. That's important. Here's a question for you. We do these thing called run, pass, or boot on here. You kind of rank 1, 2, and 3 in your order. Which former teammate of yours would you most trust with a key to your house? Gino, Carl Lawson, or Carlos Dunlap? What would you rank those 1, 2, and 3?
That's tough. I would say Carl. Me and Carl are really close. We still talk on the regular. We're born, actually, fun fact, me and Carl Lawson were born on the exact same day. We're the exact same age. And we always, we approach the game the same way. Like, we watch, the movie 300 before games and stuff like that and send each other clips of, Troy. We always, we're just, brothers removed. We always joke about that.
That's exact same day. What was that like watching him go through it? I know he ended up very happy. He's thrilled to be in New York. What's that like to watch somebody you're so tight with kind of experience the business and the craziness that the NFL can be this offseason?
I was just really happy for him because I had no idea what was going on. It's a crazy 3 days, free agency. You don't want to hit him up because he's dealing with so much. But when you see the breaking news and the big numbers he's getting and the situation he's going to, it's, even though I wanted him to come back really bad, I'm just happy that he's, taking care of his family and in a great position.
All right, let's just take a quick break.
You mentioned Michael Johnson earlier. I know how big of an influence he was on you. Do you still talk to Mike?
No, I need to reach out to him. I talked to him last year during the season a few times on the phone with Gino. I reach out to him soon, actually. Thanks for reminding me.
I mean, I know when you were starting as a rookie, he had a lot of advice for you. Is there anything that's kind of stuck with you through the years that he kind of told you?
I mean, pretty much everything. Really, just how he treated me as a rookie is how I model myself to try and treat these rookies. We had four rookie DNs in there today. And, you know, if I can treat them like MJ treated me, then, you know, I'll help them and they'll, you know, get the benefit and advantage that he gave me. And I really credit him a lot for the success I'm having right now. Just day-to-day knowledge. Like, you know, you're a rookie, you have no idea about anything. So it's a million things I could come up with, but yeah.
I mean, what is that mean? I mean, to treat people the way that he treated you, is it about respect? Is it about being hard on them sometimes? Is it what is that? What does that mean to you?
I think it's about forming a relationship where you know that you're a resource and, you know, a teammate at the same time, that there's going to be situations that come up throughout your rookie year that you have no idea how to handle or what to do, and you have no one to ask. And when you got an older guy that's been through it, and you got a relationship where you trust them and you can ask him honestly and get the real right advice, that's just invaluable. So that's what I try to do, just like he did.
I know this is going to be across the line from you, but there's kind of an interesting connection with, you know, Jackson Carmen comes in. He's a high profile pick. He's a local kid. If you had any advice to reach out to somebody about being the local guy who's a big part and a high profile pick on the local team, what do you say to Jackson? And have you talked to him at all since he got drafted?
I met him today. I'm going to go talk to him more. We're in different groups all morning, so I didn't get a good, but I definitely, can't wait to talk to him. And, you know, there's a lot of give and take that comes with playing for your hometown. I think just as a rookie, I mean, I lived next to the stadium my rookie year and kind of, acted like I was in a new city, you know, no friends, family hitting you up. You kind of just got to lock in and put every distraction that you would have to the side until you, you know, get comfortable, get a routine, establish yourself. Don't be worried about tickets, like they'll run you dry. Just little things like that. If I did tickets my rookie year for everyone that, that needed one, I would not have a game check. So, thankfully they all did season tickets, and, you know, it's a great opportunity, and I'm really happy that he gets to experience what I've experienced, because Cincinnati definitely has your back if you're from there.
Have there been parts of being the hometown kid that maybe you haven't liked as much, or not necessarily haven't liked, but felt like maybe you missed out on certain experiences that you would have gotten in the NFL if you would have gone to anywhere else?
I mean, you know, people always want to go graduate college, live in a different city, get some life experience. But, you know, there's the off season for that. I live down in Florida in the winter months usually. I think that, you know, it's kind of similar. You know, you play for your college team, you have a lot of pride because you play for your school. And I think I have a unique opportunity because I'm not just playing for a random city or, you know, team I got picked to. I got a lot of pride and really care about the success of this team in this city, and I know what it means to people. So I've got, no, I wouldn't even say more pressure. It's just, you know, I just want it that much more. So, it just constantly motivates me.
And plus, you know, you can do like everybody else in Cincinnati, and in the winter months, you can just go head down to Florida and we'll get your workouts in and hang out down there. It's the most Cincinnati thing ever.
Yeah. I mean, Fort Lauderdale in January, February, April, it's pretty nice. I can't complain. It's not, it's not too bad.
Is that going to be your routine? Do you like going down there, and is it kind of help for you to get away, even though you're still kind of doing workouts, I guess, or whatever, but is it kind of help for you to kind of refresh down there?
Yeah, I mean, my rookie year, I stayed here all year, And then that second year just felt, you know, so long because I just, when you get away right after the season, you get mental, it's more mental than anything. You just get time to hit reset and reevaluate what you went through, how you can improve, rather than just sitting here and, you know, never really getting the, everything just blends together. So hitting that reset, getting some time away is huge. That's one thing Carlos taught me because he always goes down to Miami.
And did he get you? Did you get out on his boat? Like he, you got to get out on that boat, right?
I didn't go on the boat 2 years ago before COVID and all that. I went to his restaurant, Honey Uninhibited.
Yeah,
and it was delicious. I actually stay further north up in Fort Lauderdale. He's down in Miami, but go check out his restaurant if you're down there.
No doubt. Well, I mean, you know, so we just need to get you to get your own boat. Is that going to be the next site? You got to get your own boat next.
that's the goal one day,
right? Have you gotten into some of the, like, you know, getting out fishing or you know, any of the deep sea stuff that they have down there, or have you kind of been more of a land guy?
No, I've been out a few times. Actually, a couple guys I train with play for different teams in the league. We all got a charter out there a couple times. They caught some fresh tuna, made fresh sashimi that night. I can't beat it.
That's awesome. You were at you were at the uniform reveal. You were part of the talk about being a select group. Another cool experience for you this offseason. What take me through kind of what that experience was like, walking in and seeing Ocho there smoking the cigar and waiting on you.
Yeah, no, that was an amazing thing that the, you know, little Elizabeth Blackburn and the family did. It was a really awesome production. So we just showed up. It was all those guys in the pictures, T, DJ, Joe, all of us. We just show up to this warehouse and have no idea what's going on. And then we get on this, like, freight elevator, go up to the top floor of this building, and you know, we go behind these curtains and we come out, and like all the equipment dudes are in there. There's mannequins of all the combinations, and then Chad Johnson's sitting on the throne smoking a cigar. And we're like, what is going on? And no, it was a really fun day. And then we took a bunch of pictures, and you know, the uniforms are awesome. I'm really excited about them.
So what's your favorite uniform combo? Do you have one that you like the most?
I think y'all black looks crazy. That's my favorite. And then we got some new, I think we got an all orange or orange short pants. I don't know. There's like 20 different combinations. They all look really good though.
Yeah. Are you still working with Free Store, with Food Bank? I know that was like a huge success for you that turned into such a big deal. What happened with that last time? And are you still doing stuff with them?
Yeah, I actually got a lot off the field going on this year. My foundation, Sam Hubbard Foundation, is established. The website's actually going live in 2 weeks, and got a partnership with a clothing company, Homage, that will be announced in a few weeks. That'll be really cool. That's going to be benefiting Free Store. And then a few other events. I got my kids' camp in July. All this stuff's going to be announced here in the next 2 weeks, but a lot of cool stuff in the works that's, you know, benefiting Cincinnati off the field. I'm really excited about.
That's awesome. Is the kids camp going to be back at Moeller again? Or are you going to a different site? Or
yeah, it's at Moeller, July. Actually, I don't think we set a date, but it'll be July 19th-ish. Free for kids. We got a bunch of different programs busing kids in, and they'll be on my Instagram and Twitter, a big announcement with the links to sign up. So I'll be getting that out there in the next week or two.
Love it. Well, you know, as somebody who's watched you kind of represent Moeller for another alum like me, it's cool to see how much you've done on and off the field and have fun here. We need to get you. When are you eligible for Moeller's Hall of Fame? You should be unanimous first team in. Have they told you when you're going to be eligible? I don't even know the rules on that.
I don't know the rules either. I think I heard something that was like 5 or 10 years And then, like, right before I got eligible, and they, like, bumped it to 20 or something.
You're just getting disrespected all over the place, Sam. The Ruby's menu and the Hall of Fame.
I have no idea. They're letting me host my camp there, so I'm grateful for that. And hopefully that day I'll be on the walls in Moeller.
You will. There's a few fairly famous faces on that wall.
Yeah, no doubt. Ken Griffey.
It's not bad. It's not a bad line. Sam, hey, I appreciate your time, man. Good to see everybody back out on the field and doing their thing. And glad you had a good offseason and everything. Stay healthy, and appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
All right, much thanks to Sam Hubbard for taking some time to catch up. It was fun talking with him. I tried to keep the Moeller stuff down. Keep it to a minimum. I know. I'm predictable in this way, but I really do appreciate you taking the time. We got it. Can we get Ruby on the horn? Can we get the Hubbard steak back? How are we going to take Hubbard off the menu? We got it. Let's have some conversations. All right. I'm just saying, get the man steak, but you can't take him off the menu. All right. Thanks to Sam for joining. Next week, we'll be back in full force, Jay and I, next week, as we look back on day number two of open media availability. The two more practices this week, and then they'll be back to open it back up to us to watch again on Tuesday. And we'll have some more Zooms to talk about and all that type of stuff. So plenty more to come. I hope you all keep listening to us here, and I hope everybody had a good one, and we'll talk to you later.